Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Well, we normally talk to our next guest towards the end of the week because a lot of the sporting action takes place, of course, the weekend. But with tomorrow being St. Patrick's Day, for many people, they'll be heading to Croke Park and cheering on their local club in the All-Ireland Final or Hurling Championships. Now, this year's final sees Limerick, Antrim, Mayo and Dublin battling for glory in one of the GAA's biggest days of the year. On the line to tell us more, we have our GAA analyst, Cormac Cowell. How are you doing, Cormac?
Very good, Wendy. Thanks for having me. How are you doing?
Put it in perspective for us. How big of a deal is it for a club to reach the All-Ireland Club Finals?
It's absolutely massive. There was one of these things, documentaries on the other day about the toughest or something like that last week. It had one of the Tipperary inter-county players playing and he went off down to try and hit a cricket ball or something like that. No, forgive me, it was one of the Mahers, because there's that many Mahers I'd get it wrong on the Tipperary team. But he said that his ultimate achievement would be, not that he didn't love and doesn't want to win an All-Ireland with Tipperary, but the ultimate achievement would be to win it with his club. And that's a very, it could be considered perhaps a little bit twee and a little bit of a sort of a cliche, but GAA club players really do have that as their ultimate game, or as their ultimate aim rather, because it's, you know, that old thing about the fellas, the friends you grew up with and the friends you played with all the way up, and winning that is the ultimate achievement. It was a fabulous move by the GAA. I think it was back in 1971 that they started this, the club championships, and it's an absolutely cracking, it's a huge achievement, because again, it's, you know, you can be from a small sort of a rural club and, you know, you kind of feel that you've sort of, well, okay, obviously not conquered the world but conquered the country, you know, and it's a huge achievement for them. So it's a brilliant competition.
In terms, Cormac, of the atmosphere in Croke Park on St. Patrick's Day, what's it like?
Well, it's absolutely fantastic, because you consider, again, you have quite often small-ish clubs with not very big catchment areas or big population areas around them, and yet there was 30,000 or thereabouts last year, and that's the kind of figures they achieve, which is huge. So I mean, it's that passionate, much and all, as we all get carried away with our county support, and that I think when it comes to the club support, it's even more kind of manic, because, you know, it's even closer to your heart than the county would be. Obviously the county jersey means an awful lot, but as regards to a club jersey, that's just a bigger thing again, you know. It's just, again, it's just so raw that it really is, it runs very, very deep, you know.
In terms of then the players who get to play on this amazing day tomorrow, do most players only get kind of one shot at this? Would most players, Cormac, only get one shot?
Yes, I mean, there are a few going back in the day. Nemo Rangers won quite a number of these. They are the most successful club team out there. You know, a couple of the Kilkenny sort of hurling teams would have got there a few times. And actually, funnily enough, I was just looking up this because I was just wondering, had any, you know, I knew that, what is it, Lochiel Shamrocks won it in 2012. They also won it in 1983, right? So there is a tradition. Now, obviously, that's a 20-year gap. So more often than not, this is a once-in-a-lifetime achievement. I think back when it started first, an awful lot of the Cork clubs, when we were the primary county in GAA, back in the dim and distant past at this stage, but you know, you had Pearshigs St. Finbars and Blackrock and the Glen. So back in the day, perhaps it would have been, and maybe if you're from a county from Kilkenny and you're the likes of Ballyhale Shamrocks, you might get a second bite at the cherry. But in 99% of the time, this is a once in a lifetime thing, you know.
So enjoy it while you get the chance. Absolutely. If you get the chance.
Yeah.
Now, the players involved, they'd obviously be a mixture of kind of inter-county players whose training regimes and commitment would be really similar to professional athletes. But then there's other players who might never have been good enough to play for their county. Does this make the games kind of more interesting?
Absolutely. And I think, as from looking at it, you can kind of relate to it slightly more as well, because you're kind of thinking, okay, I might, or, you know, maybe if you're that kind of a good club player, you might be able to think, you can almost put yourself in a person's shoes, so to speak. It's not that they're on a different plane to you. Granted, there are the inter-county fellas mixed in with that, but there are fellas who are doing the same type of training as an ordinary club player would be, and you kind of think, you can almost imagine yourself in that role, or, you know, you can kind of, it's something that is kind of achievable to you, or almost that you can touch it, you know. So it is, it's something that you can more relate to, because you have fellas there that mightn't be the most skillful, or, you know, they're not donning a county jersey, and they're, if you like, the ordinary club player. It gives them a chance to shine, and it's great from that point of view. You can kind of, they might make the same mistakes that you might make.
Let's start now then looking at the, we'll start at the hurling final. Who's in the final and what sort of road do they travel to actually get there, Cormac?
Well, you've been the Pearsics from Limerick, who would have come through Munster, which would have been obviously very tough. Limerick, the Pearsics club is only, it's born in 1968, I think it was. Yeah, so it's not a very old club. It's, I think, north side of Limerick. So they have quite a number of inter-county players, the Breen brothers and Cahill King, Kevin Down. So they have a fairly good, they've come through Munster. I think they won Munster last year as well, but didn't get past that. So they've come through a fairly tough enough kind of a road. And then, of course, from the tiny little place of Cushendall, and apparently most of the lads who play for that grew up within a mile of this town, and it's a small parish club, but people kind of would think, you know, sort of Antrim and hurling. But, I mean, I know a chap who knows a chap, so to speak, who would be well involved in hurling, and an awful lot of the county players, we say a couple of Cork fellas would go up there and do these little clinics up in Antrim, and there's an ex-Cork manager who's go up there that I would know of as well. And he said the fanaticism, the level of love for hurling up there in the Glens of Antrim is just absolutely huge. Now, the thing is that they come through an Ulster Championship, which wouldn't be as competitive. Although I think, I can't think of the Derry crowd now, they gave them a bit of a run in the Ulster final. And of course, then they beat Sarsfields from Galway, and nobody expected that, as the Connacht champions, you know, nobody expected them to beat them. So they've kind of made people sort of, you know, stand up and take notice of them. Having said that, I think they're, the Pearsics are very much the odds-on favourites to win this. But, you know, these fellas, they could well grab it. And, of course, now they got Liam Neeson supporting them as well, apparently. He made this little video I heard about this morning in the radio. It shows him striking the ball. Apparently, his kids would have spent a lot of summers in Cushendall growing up. And he played a bit of hurling himself, so even he's rowing in behind him. So they got a Hollywood heavyweight behind
them. There you are now. Wanted to ask you then, moving on to football, what clubs have made it to the final and what did they have to do to get there? Who did they have to beat?
We've got Ballyboden and St Enda's. And the unusual thing about Ballyboden, okay, it's a big Dublin club, but it's a Dublin club very much known for its hurling. So you've got like Dotty O'Callaghan and Conal Keeney and Stephen Heaney playing for them, who'd be much more known as hurlers. And I think they fell in with the footballers full time after they lost their interest in the hurling championship. So, I mean, again, they would have had tough road coming up through the you know, winning Leinster, winning out in Leinster. I think Portlaoise they beat in the final there, and then had to go on and beat Clonmel Commercials, like I think it was after extra time, you know. So an awful lot of their games have gone to the wire, so they've kind of really, you know, proven themselves that they can do it when the pressure's on. But against them, of course, then you have Castlebar Mitchells, you know, the Mayo crowd. I think they lost the final. I think this is, it's, if I'm not wrong, this is Ballyboden's first time in an Ireland club. Castlebar Mitchells were there, I think, at least once before when they lost to Nemo Cork. So they're back in again. They could well be their favourites. They've come through again, Connacht, and beat the Ulster champions. So, like, they're going to, I don't know. It's very hard to know who's going to come out of that. Much and all is Castlebar Mitchells are the favourites. Ballyboden have really kind of done it when the chips were down, you know. So they could well, because of what they've come through, a tougher sort of, you know, they've had tougher draws and tighter games, they could well put it up to Castlebar. Much and all, as I said, Castlebar are the stronger favourites in it. I think the hurling should be clear cut, but, you know, romance isn't dead. You'd like to see, oh, you'd always kind of, you know, have a tendency to root for an underdog.
Yeah.
And it would be fantastic for the likes of, I read about Carl Keegan there, a hurler. Sorry, no, I'm jumping back into hurling, but he's been playing for 21 years, so he said this will force his retirement on the football side of it, jumping back into that.
It'd be a nice way to finish, though, wouldn't it?
It would be a great way to finish, yeah. On the football side of it, Ballyboden, for them to win something that isn't their kind of primary sport, is like, as I said, they're known for more of their hurling, would be fantastic. But, you know, could anybody deny anybody from Mayo and All Ireland? Hardly. We'd never be that cool, would we?
No way. I wanted to ask you, just moving beyond tomorrow, these club finals and the teams obviously that have gotten there, Cormac, do they have anything to say about the likely strength of the county teams in the All Irelands this summer?
Probably not a whole pile, really, being honest with you. I think, like, they're very much, they can be a separate, they can be totally detached and separate from it, you know. Quite often, you know, you could have a fantastically strong club side and an utterly, you know, weak and sort of an inter-county side. What it does help, if you have a really strong club, obviously you might have more players going into that county side. I mean, what it does in the intervening period, it quite tends to pull the you know, during league campaigns, it tends to pull those players that would normally be with their county back to their club. So they tend to stick with the club until such time as after March 17th and then go back in with the county set up after that. So it doesn't kind of, I suppose, as I said, if you have a stronger team, it kind of gives that team and those players a boost of confidence. But quite often during a league campaign, what it can do is impact negatively on the county set up simply because they've lost those players to the club scene for a while, you know. But I think, again, it's as it should be, because, you know, it's too often, I mean, even in the recent GA Congress, they wouldn't even push the count or the All-Ireland finals back 2 weeks to give the club players an extra couple of weeks, so they wouldn't be training and playing in the muck. And I think it's great that this weekend, this week, tomorrow, is all about the club player, and you get a very decent crowd out to it, and it's live on TV, and it's all about Paddy's Day, and it's part of it now. It's part of that National Day of Celebration. And I think linking the GA and the clubs, more importantly, in the GA to that, I think is a very important thing.
All right, final predictions for tomorrow then, Cormac?
Sure. I'm going to go against the grain. I mean, it's just as well I don't gamble because I'd be very broke. But I'd like to see Ballyboden do it, and I'd love to see Cushendall do it. Now that they've got the Hollywood heavyweights in behind them, I mean, sure, you know, we'd have to go for it.
You'd have to go for that. Well, Cormac Call, GAA analyst extraordinaire, as always, thank you so much for talking to us this morning, and we shall chat to you again soon. And of course, we wish all the players and fans involved tomorrow a fantastic day tomorrow at Croke Park. If you want to watch the match tomorrow, the AIB GAA Hurling All-Ireland Senior Club Championship final is going to be on TG Cahir at 2, and the GAA Football All-Ireland Senior Club Championship Final is going to be on TG Cahir at 4 o'clock tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.